Welcome to the Digicom Cafe, located at the intersection of faith and technology. We hope you enjoy your cafe experience where we cater to your digital and spiritual appetites, and build interest in the amateur radio hobby, one story at a time. Please stand by as we get ready to launch this episode of Radio on the Rocks. You are about to listen to a Radio on the Rocks Cafe Cast interview, which occurred on April 4, 2019 in the Digicom Cafe Multimode Communications Network, with Danny J, KD5DLJ, and guest Ron, AEF2NY.
How did you get into ham radio? How long have you been a ham?
Probably about 6 years now. I originally was into CB in the 60s. And I was thinking about it back then, and then never pursued it. My uncle was a ham, and he tried to get us involved back in the 60s. My brother actually took his novice test back then, and he passed it. And I was going to do it. I think back then it was like 5 words a minute, even for the novice. And I didn't do so well, so I guess I got discouraged. But anyway, I still have my old D104 microphone from the old CB days sitting on my desk. It's in mint condition. I wonder how much that thing is worth today. Probably about $150 or something, I guess. I don't think they really went up much in value. But yeah, so not that long. So I just decided to just get the amateur extra, just not that I need it, because I don't really do HF, but I just as a personal accomplishment, I figured let me see if I could do it. I just buckled down and I did it. So even this old brain was able to pass that test. Back over to you, Danny.
So you started out in CB. That seems like a very common thread here with these cafe cast stories from hams. Tell me about your CB experience. What kind of radio did you have, and did you do any DXing with sideband or all that fun stuff?
I think it was a Courier, if I do remember, a Courier, I believe, and we had a ground plane antenna. So it was basically just AM, and the sideband is, oh boy, that was a pain when they used to get on and they used to, modulate over you, block you out, even, you know, so it was very disturbing when sideband came on, because it really messed up the transmission. Didn't run much power. I think we were just running the required 4 watts. So didn't do any DXing. It was all local. Even with the antenna that we had. And even back then, we had to have these filters on because it was, I guess the TVs weren't very good and used to throw interference on the TVs occasionally. But I used to stay up, I was like 12, 14 years old. Used to stay up like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning on the damn thing, talking to people. My parents had to come and tell us to get off the thing. It was like almost addictive. I think my schoolwork probably suffered because of it. But that's how I originally got interested in the radio waves back then. After one way back over the day.
Well, imagine being in New York City. There must have been a lot of CBers, or else it's just an interest of a select few of us odd ducks that like to talk and like to meet strangers. And how was it for kids back in the day? Was it pretty clean, or did you have a lot of language that shouldn't be used in radio? A lot of truckers and sickos out there. Or was it really just a lot of fun?
Yeah, copy. Added the 23 channels that had access. It wasn't really too bad. No truckers. It was all locals, and almost every channel was occupied out of the 23 at any given time. So never a shortage of talking to somebody. But generally pretty clean. Not any cursing much back then in the this is probably 64, 5, 6, 7, around that period. I guess towards the end, it started in 67, it started to get a little worse. I think when I first got on, it was better, and then it started to get a little out of hand, a lot of interference, people dumping on each other's, boosting up the power, dumping on you, and you couldn't get out anymore because people always stepping on you. So that's why I guess I lost interest back in the later 60s, but it was definitely enjoyable when we first got started. I guess that was probably almost the beginning of CB in the early 60s. I'm not sure what was going on in the 50s, but in the 50s I was late 50s, only like 6, 7 years old. So I'm not sure what was going on back then. So I don't know if the 60s was almost the beginning of the CB days.
Yeah, I suppose that would explain why it was fairly decent in the beginning. Obviously, things went downhill from there and got out of control. And it appears that's what motivates a lot of people to get into amateur radio. But now I'm hearing that even some of the folks that left CB going into ham radio have also brought some of the same practices, and language isn't always the best. And some people have been turned off by it and have left the hobby. That's unfortunate, but I guess wherever you got a group of people, that's always a potential problem. At least we're trying to deal with that here in the Guild and the Digicom Cafe and keep everything friendly, family friendly, and civil. And like here in the cafe, which thank you always appreciated it too, the culture of kindness we're trying to maintain here. So when you first got into ham radio, did you start out with CW and get yourself an HF rig, or did you move directly into, let's see, 6 years ago, that would have been past the crystal stage for 2 meters and FM stuff. What did you start out with?
No, I haven't done anything but Echolink and Zello, and then obviously lately DMR and D-Star, and that's just with the A and B chip. But my first contacts were John and Richard on the Guild back in probably 2015 or something like that. But no, didn't have any HF equipment, and especially, in an apartment, can't have any antennas or anything like that. So that's why this mode is very enjoyable. I can get on HF to remotehams.com, but I don't really enjoy that because it's not the greatest sounding with the QRM, QRN. I like the crystal clear audio. That's why I enjoy this and Echolink, and well, actually, this is the best, even better than D-Star and DMR. So that's why I gravitate towards this, and I love the groups that your group that we have out there, and the nets that we have, and on Echolink. I find that the most enjoyable. It's the basically easy listening. I don't like to strain to listen to anyone communicate, and I'm not into this contesting or anything like that. So I'll probably just stick with the digital modes, and we'll see where it progresses from here. I'm excited about this new app that you and Richard are talking about from Ty Weaver, this WhizNet. If that really works and takes off, would even be better. But these systems are great because, like you indicated, we could actually monitor who's on, and you could block if someone gets out of hand. Whereas on HF, there's a lot of probably free banders out there now that don't even have licenses, and they're out there causing all sorts of havoc, interference on repeaters, and makes it I guess annoying for who's out there trying to talk to their friends. So they're losing interest because of that. So with D-Star and DMR, it's more regulated because your call signs are right out there. People could find out who you are right away. So that's why these modes, I find, are the best. I'm enjoying them. Back over to you, Denny, AF211.
Well, those are very good points, and you started with the best when it comes to audio quality. Yeah, I could tell that if you were to go back to HF, you might find that more frustrating, being able to hear and understand some of the conversations. And of course, everybody's signals are varied. Some are really weak, some are really strong. It is a unique experience being on HF for sure, compared to some of these digital modes, which sound so clear, so crisp. And what in the world do you see in radio communications? I mean, I've got my oldest son says, Dad, I don't even like to talk to people I know, much less people I don't know. So what is it about this kind of communications that draws you in? Are you just that friendly a person? Of course, you've made some great friends here in the Guild, but there's got to be something that motivates you to be involved in something like this. What is it?
Well, basically, it's exciting to talk to people around the world. I've met people, you know, Australia, we've spoken to a lot of, obviously, our friends in England, New Zealand. I would have never met or spoken to anyone like that. And it's always interesting to hear their point of view, what's going on in their country, stuff that you normally wouldn't hear, and you wouldn't even pick that up really just from texting. A lot of kids today, they're all into just texting, Instagram, Snapchat, or whatever. I'd rather talk to somebody, listen to their voice, listen to their accents, find out what their likes are, their dislikes, what's going on, their point of view, what they think about America, you know, what we think about their country. It's just basically an eye opener to just talk to people that you never thought you would talk to. I do a lot of cruising and I meet a lot of people from around the world. So that's why this is just almost an extension for me, meeting a lot of people on the radio that I've met from these countries when I've cruised. And now I talk to people from similar countries on the radio. So it's just basically a fascinating experience for me. Back over to you, Denny, AF2NY.
And I know you're a member of the Guild, the Worldwide Amateur Radio Guild. And we've known each other now for over a year. I think you're one of the early ones that I met when we joined the Guild. What do you like about this particular platform that the Guild offers and what we do here in the cafe? What would you say as far as some young person came up to you and said, I want to find a place where I can have some good conversations with some really nice people that I can trust. Why would you steer them towards the cafe or the Guild?
Well, I feel that probably it's the friendliest group of people that I've spoken with, and knowledgeable both on the Guild and on Digicom channels, Danny, because I've listened to a lot of nets on Echolink. They're nice too. Enjoyable to listen to, but I just feel more comfortable with the group of people that are on the Guild and on your system, very knowledgeable and enjoy talking with them. We have a lot of common interests, and the nets that are, I find, are very entertaining. The different people that call up. The Wednesday night net with Sean from Trinidad and Tobago holds a very, very nice net. He's very personable. I enjoy listening to his accent, and he comes up with very interesting questions to get you to think a little bit. And there's no pressure on these channels. I mean, you could respond or not respond. You could answer a question however you want. There's no right or wrong answer. So that's what I enjoy. First, the rag chew that we generally have, and then the organized nets. So that's my interest. You know, just a great group of people to talk to, friendly, and it allows non-hams to become familiar with protocol. Listening to the hams out there, so we're not discriminating. Whereas some other system, like Echolink, you have to...
Oops, you dropped out there for some reason. Try it again, you were talking about Echolink.
Oh, yeah, that was my wife. You just called me and knocked me out, so I just told her I'll call her back in a second. Echolink, they're only allowing hams to talk, so it doesn't give a non-ham the ability to hear ham protocol and hear what's going on out there. So that's one good thing I like about this. It's bringing young people in here who can experience the hobby and see if they want to get it, pursue it further, either get a license and try different modes of communication. So that's definitely a good plus about it.
Okay, great. Well, I can tell that you think that the fellowship we have here in the cafe and the guild is like family, and it's a regular communication, almost daily for many of us. So it's good to have that kind of connection with other people using these digital tools at our disposal, like the iPhone or these network radios or your Samsung smartphones, which is the one thing that young people have in common. Good way to bring them into a known community where it's safe, where we can, like you say, grow and learn about each other's cultures and backgrounds around the world. Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Ron, for sharing your insights and your experience and how you got into amateur radio. Thank you very much. We'll let you go. AF2NY, KD5DLJ.
Okay, Danny. Catch you later. AF2NY, 7 3 0.
Thank you for listening to this radio on the Rocks Cafe Cast. Visit our website at digicomcafe.com to see our extensive digital buffet menu and listen to all of the live conversations on our Cafe on Ice stream. Or this and many more episodes of our Cafe Cast.